Good morning, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join on the phone, online, or via text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk@wdws.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-353-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts, broadcasting live today from Lincoln, Nebraska. That is because the Illini men's basketball team plays tonight out here in Lincoln against the Nebraska clock tip-off at Pinnacle Bank Arena in downtown Lincoln. And we'll have our pregame coverage starting with Scott Beatty at 6:30 with Illini game day coming up this evening. But again, a busy weekend to recap. Illinois basketball did not play over the weekend. Their last game, of course, was against the Iowa Hawkeyes, that overtime loss on Thursday night in Champaign. But we've got a lot to review. Big Ten basketball, NFL football, of course, getting ready for a lot of Olympic sports action at the University of Illinois. That's been pretty busy this last weekend. In the second hour today, we're going to be talk a little Harlem Globetrotters. Zeus McClurkin is going to be in studio. Lauren Tate is in studio today. So we got a full show, Lauren Tate. How are you?
Well, I'm good, and a lot of things going on, isn't it? Between the playoffs and Illinois is about ready to name an offensive coordinator. An awful lot of rumors that it could be 45-year-old Matt Canada. That's the talk that I'm getting from several sides. And then, of course, you've got a situation there where the basketball team is in Nebraska without T. John Lucas for the second game in a row, and looks like his future's status is somewhat tenuous. Have you heard anything about that?
I have not heard any more about that. We'll see if we learn anything more as we go throughout the day today. But you're right, he did not make the trip, so that is obviously a concern, and we'll see how it plays out from here. They'll have to try to go on and try to beat the Huskers tonight if they can without his presence, but certainly a disappointing loss the other night in overtime.
Boy, that was a tough one, but they always are. The Illini went into that overtime with four freshmen in the lineup because after Frazier hit that jumper, they were getting in foul trouble. They were already in foul trouble, and, of course, ultimately four guys fouled out, and I didn't know until later that the 33 free throws were the most made by an opponent of Illinois in the State Farm Center in a half century. Can you believe that? 33 free throws on 40 fouls, I believe, or 40 fouls, and then 40 attempts, rather,
yeah,
and 33 made.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think it was the second biggest comeback in Hawkeye history. So,
yeah.
And I think one of the bigger ones was against Illinois as well back several years ago. So, yeah. But we're going to talk about all of that. We've got a guest here in our studio here in Lincoln, too. We'll talk to him in just a moment. He's Greg Sharp. He is host of the Tim Miles Radio Show. He's also the voice of Nebraska Husker football. There's certainly a lot to talk about with that. And he also graduated the same time Brad Underwood did from Kansas State. So we'll talk about all that with him coming up here in just a few minutes. Here are the phone numbers, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. We'll do all of that next as we take our opening break. Greg Sharp will join us here from Lincoln. We'll take your open line phone calls and comments on anything. Of course, the NFL, a couple of unbelievable games yesterday with Jacksonville and Shad Khan's team in the AFC Championship game now against New England. And that Minneapolis miracle, they're calling it, up in Minneapolis yesterday. A lot to talk about. We'll do it next on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Penny for your thoughts here on DWS. All right, here are the phone numbers, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. Lauren Tate is in studio. Lauren, don't know if you saw the end of the Minnesota Vikings game.
Well, I did. Of course,
pretty amazing.
I was stunned twice, I guess. First of all, they fell behind, and then they pulled it out. Unbelievable. You know, when that ball was in the air, I thought sure it was going to be intercepted. I don't know why. I thought they had a couple of guys back there, and they surely wouldn't be able to hit a long one on him. But, and then it turned out. I wonder if he had been tackled on the sideline. I think there was still time. It might have been a couple of seconds left. They could have still kicked a long field goal, possibly. But he should have been tackled.
Well, Joe Buck had the call on Fox, and I believe, Jimmy, we've got that ready to go. Here's what that sounded like.
Steps into it, passes, caught, Diggs, sideline, touchdown, unbelievable, Vikings win it.
Summed it up pretty well in about 10 words, Lauren.
Yeah, just almost like a Hail Mary, not quite, but similar.
Yeah.
Except he had to run about 30-some yards, but amazing. All right. I mean, all those three of those games, everything but the New England game was extremely exciting this weekend.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Shad Khan, the Absolutely. Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. Hey, Lauren, we got a guest in here. He lives in Lincoln 10 minutes from here, and he's the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers football and baseball and does the Tim Miles radio show for basketball. Greg Sharp is here. And, Greg, how are you?
I'm great. I was just showing you, Brian, during the commercial break, the headline of the Times-Picayune, which is the New Orleans newspaper. The headline was, and Lauren will like this, expletive, expletive, expletive. The big words across the top of the headlines. That's great. And it's great to talk to Lauren as well. I keep thinking he's retiring every other day, but he's still cranking away. It's good to hear his voice.
I'm just tired, that's all. I haven't retired.
Well, his obviously his connection here to Nebraska, Lauren, but he also, you went to, I don't know if you attended class with Brad Underwood, but you graduated same time Brad Underwood did in radio TV, right?
At Kansas State. That's where I got my undergraduate degree, same as Coach Underwood. And he was a junior college transfer into the K-State program, so he's only in Manhattan a couple of years, but we were at school at the same time. My last couple of years, Brian, at Kansas State, I was the public address announcer for Wildcat basketball. Husker, all in my mind at the time. So I would call Brad's name when he would come into the game, Brad Underwood. So I was the PA guy the last couple of years when he was playing there.
Yep. So you know him fairly well, then.
I do. Yeah. He was, you know, he spent a lot of time at Kansas State as an assistant for Frank Martin, had that great run of teams there before he headed off to Stephen F. Austin. And I think he's a great hire for Illinois. And I know it's a tough stretch right now for the Illini, but hang on. Much better days are coming.
Yeah. Well, Lauren, you got any questions for Greg here? We're talking Husker basketball and/or football. He knows it.
Well, I'm going to flip over to football because I know we'll get back to basketball. But I want to know how Scott Frost is doing, and in terms of putting a recruiting class together, when he spent most of his time in the recruiting period, the recent recruiting period, working in behalf of Central Florida.
Lauren, I don't know how he's still standing. I mean, he had an unbelievable 30-day stretch there after being named Nebraska's head coach. He was flying back and forth across the country. Great story. They had an 8 a.m. practice for Central Florida to get ready for their Peach Bowl game. So he's on the practice field. They have practice. He does a couple things afterwards, goes and jumps on a plane, flies from Orlando to Fresno, California to go recruit a quarterback, has an in-home visit with his quarterback who did end up signing with Nebraska, got on a plane after the in-home about 9 o'clock California time, flew all the way back to Orlando, landed at 5 a.m. and was back out on the practice field at 8 a.m. in the morning. So he really, really worked it hard. Nebraska signed 12 in the early period. Since that time, they've gotten two transfers into the program who are now starting class. So they're at 14. They did a really nice job. They're probably going to end up about 20 once the February period ends. But he worked his tail off, Lauren, those last 30 days. And then coached the winner in the bowl game as they beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl.
Well, it was a little unusual for a coach to stay. Usually they leave and let an interim coach. Right. So kind of what went into that decision?
Well, I think it was because of where they were, undefeated season, playing in one of those New Year's Six Bowls. The only other time I remember hearing this was Urban Meyer did the same thing at Utah. He had taken the Florida job, and Utah was undefeated and playing, was it the Fiesta Bowl, I think, that they were playing in, and he ended up coaching that game. So it's rare, but I think it was because it was such a special season for UCF and trying to finish it off at 13-0, which is so rare in this day and age of college football. So I think he felt like he owed it to that team. It was really hard on him and the staff to do both jobs for about a month, but Nebraska fans, I think, felt like it was the right thing for him to do to finish the job there in Orlando.
How many of his staff did he bring with him from Central Florida?
He brought the entire group. All of them have come with him, including his strength coach. Now, his strength coach is a Nebraska grad. There are two other assistant coaches who are Nebraska grads, so there's a pretty good finger of Nebraska background with a couple of these guys. But He gave them all the options to whether they wanted to stay on with a new staff. Josh Heupel's the new head coach now for the UCF Knights. And a couple of them interviewed but opted to follow Scott here. And so it's his whole group that just coached an undefeated season that's now here in Lincoln.
So that entire group that was at Nebraska is gone. I mean, basically, yeah. The majority are gone, huh?
They are. I mean, the couple of support people will be leftovers from that staff. But, yeah, the entire now 10, and we now have 10 assistant coaches in football.
That's right.
The new legislation kicking in about a week or two ago. So all 10 are gone from the previous staff and all have come with Scott up from Central Florida.
Voice you're hearing is that of Greg Sharp. He's the voice of Nebraska Husker football. He lives just 10 minutes away. As a friend, I just said, hey, come on by and see us for a few minutes. He knows Brad Underwood, familiar with him. And, of course, Illinois is playing Nebraska tonight at 8 o'clock here at the Pinnacle Bank Arena. So we're talking Illinois basketball, Illinois football, I guess, Lauren. We're waiting to hear about an offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah, all the talk is about Matt Canada. It doesn't mean it's right. It's a strong rumor. You know, Canada was at Northern when they were really good under Doran, followed him to North Carolina State and was there. He had a three-year contract. He actually, I don't think he served it fully. He's kind of bounced around a little bit. He was with Pittsburgh in 2016 when they beat Clemson. He was the offensive coordinator there when they the only team to beat the national champion in 2016. But this year, something went wrong at LSU. He had a three-year contract. He was the highest-paid offensive coordinator in the nation with $1.5 million for LSU and had two more years on his contract, but they bought him out. He and Ed Orgeron just didn't get along, I guess, and they averaged about 28 points a game, but something was wrong there. And so he's out, and he's available, and he's one of the hot items out there, you know, among coaches who are reforming their staff. So we'll see if Matt Canada's the guy. We expect an announcement tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're kind of waiting to hear if that is the case and when that announcement is formally made. So that'll be interesting. And they still have the two other positions to fill, right?
That is right, yeah. And that could be we're hearing all kinds of rumors about that. But Canada is an Indiana graduate who actually spent 6 years on the Indiana staff through 2010 and the last four as offensive coordinator. He's been a really high-ranking offensive coordinator for about a decade. So, you know, and as I said, he's 45 years old. So this could be the guy that comes in. And then again, I don't have any verification on this, and he just may be one of the candidates. I'm told that he did interview. Whether that will wind up with him being named, we'll see.
Yeah, and when the list came out of potential, you know, names that are out there, which always happens, his name was right in that top five list, along with Ron Turner and, yeah, and several others. So it's not just him. But that'd be an interesting hire anyway, as far as that goes. We're here in Lincoln, Nebraska, Illinois basketball tonight. Real quick before we get to basketball, Greg Sharp is with us here. Scott Frost, former Nebraska quarterback. I saw a quote from Johnny Rogers lately saying, hey, let's get back to Nebraska football. I guess you can't do any more than that, a guy that played for Tom Osborne, right?
Scott was an interesting young guy. He was from a real small town. His mom and dad are both great athletes, good coaches at the high school level. He didn't come to Nebraska out of high school. Scott went to Stanford. Played 1 year for Bill Walsh, was the head coach at Stanford at the time, and he was the quarterback out there, and then kind of missed home, and so he transferred back. He broke a lot of Nebraska hearts when he did not come to Lincoln right out of high school, but then ended up coming back and then was the quarterback in the 96 and 97 seasons here in Lincoln. So played 1 year for Bill Walsh, came back, played for Tom Osborne here, and then spent some time in the NFL where he coached under Mike Tomlin. So he's really touched a lot of really prime coaches throughout his career. And then the interesting thing was that Scott's time job coaching college football, he was the defensive coordinator at Northern Iowa. So he was, you know, here's this offensive guy, but he's been a defensive coordinator in his college career. So he's certainly kind of broad-based himself. And I think, you know, Nebraska feels like they got one of the hottest young coaches in the country.
All right, we're at 9:22. I want to tell you real quickly about Woods Basement Systems. And coming up in hour number two, as one of our sponsors, they're going to be giving away a radon kit. This will be in the next hour. January is Radon Action Month. And Woods Basement Systems radon experts can help determine if a building's radon levels are above the EPA's recommended levels. And if so, they can install an aesthetically pleasing and affordable radon mitigation system. We'll be giving away one of these in hour number two. Of course, wall cracks and everything else that goes on with your the foundation walls of your home. If you've got some leaks, they can help with all of that. Most of the water that gets trapped on top of the vapor barrier, too, in your house, it evaporates up and into your home. And, of course, mold loves all of that. So if you need some help with all of this, Woods Basement Systems is the place to go. Their number is 888-935-4333, or go online to woodsbasementsystems.com, 888-935-4333, or woodsbasementsystems.com. And, again, it is Radon Month, Radon Awareness Month, or Action Month. We'll give one of those away in the next hour. Lauren Tate is with us in studio. We'll take a break. Greg Sharp is with us here from Lincoln, Nebraska. He does the Husker football broadcast. We'll talk a little Husker Illini basketball coming up next here from Lincoln, Nebraska on a Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Back on Penny for Your Thoughts, Monday Morning Quarterbacking, 356-9397. You can text us, as always, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Email us talk at WDWS.com. Greg Sharp is with me, the voice of Nebraska football and baseball, and he does the Tim Miles radio show. Lauren Tate is here. We're talking Illini basketball. And, Greg, Nebraska, tell me about this Husker team. Where are they? And they've got a lot of different parts, right, from different places?
Yeah, it's probably Tim Miles' most complete team in his sixth year here in Lincoln. And like the Illini, they're coming off of an overtime loss. They get beat at Penn State on Friday night. A game that they were down by 16 early in the second half, fought back, got it tied, got it to OT, and then lost with a jumper at the end of the game by the Lions. But it's a team that's got a lot of different guys from different parts. I call them kind of the Island of Misfit Toys type team. They've got a fifth-year graduate transfer in Dubi Okeke. They've got a transfer from Louisville and Anton Gill, who's now a senior. Isaac Copeland's a transfer from Georgetown. James Palmer's a transfer from Miami of Florida. So a lot of guys who didn't start their careers here in Lincoln but have come together. And Tim Miles has done a nice job blending this team together. A lot of different scoring options on this team. But they've just had a lot of problem being consistent. And maybe that's because all these guys have not been together very long as a group.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, did you have any of these guys here last year sitting out, or are these mostly people who came in this year?
No, Palmer sat out last year. He transferred the summer before. Obviously, with the transfer rules, you have to sit a year. Copeland transferred mid-semester from Georgetown, played the first seven games and got hurt. He appealed the NCAA to see if he could get that first semester back. They gave it to him. Gill was actually a part of the team a year ago and then got hurt right before conference play began. Lauren, he hurt a knee, and so he was out. He did not play in the conference part. He did play in the non-conference last year. So, Nebraska had a couple of young guys who had played a lot the last couple of years who transferred away from the program. A lot of you might remember Ed Morrow, a young guy from the Chicago area, yep, who transferred after his sophomore year. He's sitting out at Marquette this year. And then Michael Jacobson was a young guy that played the last 2 years. He has transferred, and he's sitting out at Northern Iowa for the year. So Nebraska lost a couple, brought a couple of them in. They knew they would have Copeland and Palmer this year. OKK was one of those summertime finds when, you know, that the transfer rule that has become so common here in college basketball.
Well, let me ask both you guys. There's talk now of a meeting of the NCAA to discuss the idea of allowing players to transfer, assuming their grade point average is at least 2.7 or 2.8, transferring and being immediately eligible. What would that do to basketball? Do you favor it? Do you like what's going on?
That would scare me a little bit, Lauren, and Brian may have a different take, but I think then all of a sudden you kind of become a bit of an NBA thing where you can almost flip immediately and go. We've really developed a culture. It's kind of a millennial type thing where kids, you know, if they don't like their particular travel team, they can just transfer and find a different one and play right away. I think that would be a little scary if that ended up happening for college basketball. I'm worried that we've made this so easy for kids to flip and flop and not kind of come down to their core values. Nebraska's got a kid in Chemonga right now who walked into Tim Miles' office last Thursday and said, I want to transfer. He didn't make the trip to Penn State. He won't play tonight against the Illini. That bothers me a little bit, but I think it's kind of the culture we've developed at youth sports about, well, if you don't like this team, you can go play for another team.
Yeah, and part of it, I guess, Lauren, what with the fifth-year guys, we've seen so how many hundreds of guys are transferring every year right now?
Well, you know that, I mean, the funny part about that is they're allowed 2 years in graduate school, right? Two years of scholarship. Nobody's taking that. They just want to play 1 year and get out.
Right.
That's what's happening. I mean, it's a phony deal, really.
Yeah.
I think.
Probably not good for college basketball. I kind of agree with Greg on that, but I don't know. We got to do something too. I don't know if they'll ever do it, but the whole one and done scenario. I mean,
awful.
Can we do it like baseball, where you have to either come out of high school and or
right.
you can do that if you want, if you're good enough, and then go at least 3 years and then go to.
I mean, it's the perfect scenario. College football is the same way. You have to be there 3 years. Now you don't. Nobody's ready for the NFL out of high school. Where some kids are ready for the NBA. I mean, look at these kids who play 1 year at Kentucky or, you know, Duke and then go. A lot of them have great success right away in the NBA. What's the difference between that and jumping right away? I think it's merely been bad for – I think college basketball has let the NBA dictate their sport, and I don't like that. I'm a college guy. I don't like that. I like the pro league is kind of dictating what the college level looks like.
All right, are we ready for some headlines, Lauren? I assume we have Mr. Kaiser – standing
He's
by,
here
or at
and
least.
Poised.
Well, good. We'll let him do some news headlines. We'll keep Greg a few more minutes just to talk about the ball game tonight and Tim Miles a little bit. Doug Altenberger may swing by in a few minutes, too, and join us here from Lincoln. Lauren Tate's in studio. We got Zeus McClurkin coming up from the Harlem Globetrotters there at the State Farm Center next Friday, January 19th at 7. So we'll talk with him a little bit. So we got people coming left and right here at you on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show from Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll take your comments and emails and questions throughout the morning. Back with more after the news headlines. And we return Monday Morning Quarterbacking this morning. Lauren Tate is in studio, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Email us, talk at WDWS.com. Illinois basketball tonight at 8 against Nebraska. The Illini 0-5 in the Big Ten, the Illini 10-8 overall after the overtime loss to Iowa. And Lauren taking on the Huskers. Two more road games, a lot of road games here for Brad Underwood's team.
Really tough start, isn't it, to try to win on the road? It's hard to win anywhere on the road these days. And I don't know, just a fluke of the schedule. At least when we get through the next two, we'll have a vast majority of the games will be home.
Yeah, somewhere it has to flip in our favor.
Yeah.
At some point. So Greg Sharp with us for a couple more minutes, voice of the Nebraska Cornhusker football team, Tim Miles radio show. How's Tim Miles doing out here? I know people happy with him in general, or I know Nebraska basketball gets lost sometimes in the shuffle with football. But
they liked him a lot. They want to win a little bit more than what he's done. This is his sixth year. He's made only one postseason appearance, and that was in his second year here in Lincoln. And Brian and Lauren, he's had a lot of toys to play with. I mean, the arena is in its fifth year, so – when he got hired, the arena was a year away from opening the doors. That was a huge attraction for recruiting. The beautiful practice facility was a year old when Tim walked into town. So he's had a lot of advantages that prior coaches here at Nebraska have not had. And so he really hasn't gotten to the level where people want. He's under 500 as the head coach here. This is a big year. As Illini fans know, when you change athletic directors, a lot of things change after that. Well, Nebraska changed the athletic directors a couple of months ago. So he's feeling some pressure. He needs to win. He's got a chance. His team is 12-7 and has a chance to make a run toward postseason. So games like tonight, pretty critical for Nebraska.
I wonder, both of you, and I'm just kind of confused by this Big Ten. We had team. It looks like Indiana and Ohio State are really playing now. They're falling back on their history, I guess. And that game yesterday with Northwestern was just a Northwestern was still in the 30s with 2.5 minutes to go. I mean, they wound up losing 66-46. What's going on? I mean, what's happened to Northwestern? I think I know what's happened to Minnesota, but Northwestern 11-8, that's inexplicable to me.
Lauren, I talked to some folks last week about Northwestern. Teddy Greenstein is a writer for the Chicago Tribune. I was on the phone with him a couple of days ago, and I said, what's the deal? And his take is there's some big chemistry issues with that team right now. They're just not getting along really well.
Really?
They're fighting each other a little bit, and that's what it looks like to me, a team that just can't kind of find themselves after that magical season they had a year ago. To me, the story of the year right now is Ohio State. I cannot believe the Buckeyes are putting together the kind of year that they are. I thought they would be one of the lower-level teams in this conference, and yet here they are undefeated, a third of the way through the league race. I think it's been a remarkable job done by the Ohio State coaching staff. I think they're the story of the year to me at this point in time in the season.
And Michigan's been another story. I mean, with their win at Michigan State,
yeah.
And we saw Michigan up close just 10 days ago or less.
Yeah, I think Michigan is just – that's a beeline operation there. They just seem to – always have the shooters, and they just seem to – there's a cohesion there that is lacking at Northwestern, as you say. They seem to always be together, and they're a hard team to beat. There's something – that's a coaching situation, I think. What do you guys think?
Totally agree, Warren. I think Coach Beilein's one of the best coaches in the country, and I love to watch their teams play. They're so fluid on the offensive end. They get those bigs who can step out and shoot the three, and Wagner's a terrific player. They come to Lincoln on Thursday night, so this is a back-to-back home games for the Huskers with the Illini tonight and then Michigan on Thursday. I really find them fun to watch. And Michigan State's hit a little bit of a wall, but I don't know, Brian, if that's a bad thing. Sometimes you're going to hit a wall during the length of a season.
Sure.
This isn't a bad time to have kind of a lull for Michigan State.
And they're going to be fine, I think, in the long haul. I wouldn't worry too much about them. But obviously Purdue is rolling along, too, at the top of the conference. Nobody's really surprised by that.
No. I mean, what a great job Coach Painter's done. This is their year, all those seniors they have. This is their kind of year to really make a dent.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. Who won the Big Ten last year? Purdue just goes along and does great things, and nobody pays much attention to him.
I mean,
all the attention's on Ohio State and Michigan State because of their troubles. And, of course, I mentioned Michigan, and yet here's Purdue, and, you know, they just roll along 6-0. I mean, they're – and, you know, they don't get ranked real high. You know, nobody puts them up really at the top. They just keep winning games and mind their own business, don't they?
It's a way to do it, isn't it? Fly under the radar a little bit. It's hard to fly under the radar when you have 2 7-foot-8 guys or whatever those two big fellas are for Purdue, those two twin towers they have.
That's for sure. We're on Monday Morning Quarterbacks here. Greg Sharp with us, voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers football teams. Also does baseball. He hosts the Tim Miles radio show. Real quick before we let you go, Greg, go back home here in Lincoln. The game tonight, what do you think, Illinois and Nebraska?
I think it'll be close. I mean, I think pretty much any matchup within the Big Ten, you're going to see tight, contested games. I know the Illini have already played in 3 overtime games. The Huskers had an overtime game with Penn State the other night. I think it'll be really tight. Can Nebraska handle the pressure of Illinois? Huskers have been a little sloppy at times with the ball. And can Illinois defend all the different options Nebraska throws at you offensively? Those, to me, will be a couple of the keys.
And you talked about John Beilein and his system. Mm-hmm. That's what Brad Underwood is just now undertaking, is getting the parts to fit in the way he wants to play, because you saw his Stephen F. Austin teams like I did.
They were terror. You could already get the ball across midcourt against them at times. They were able to do that. And let me just also relay this to you, and I'm sure you've talked about this as well, Brian. If memory serves, last year at Oklahoma State, Brad's team, I think, started 0-6 in the league and then fought their way back and got right up in there, got into the NCAA tournament, battled John Beilein's Wolverines in the first round of the NCAA tournament. So he righted the ship last year in Stillwater after a tough start to conference play. So keep the faith, Illini fans.
All right. I think we have Eric on the line. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Hi there, gentlemen. I want to back up a little bit about the comments you made earlier that they're considering allowing a player to transfer upon completion of a semester or scholastic year. Is that correct?
That's something they're going to study at the NCAA level. I don't know when the meetings are going to be held, but they're upcoming, apparently. There's talk about them, and I don't know what they're going to do. They may not do it, but they're going to consider.
I hope they do. I think it's a fantastic idea.
There would be a academic factor involved. You'd have to have at least.
Well, understandably so.
Yeah.
But I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, if you've got, you know, as soon as the Final Four is over and all that, and you've got coaches being, you know, plucked out of programs and lured away and all this money running around like that, why should a player have the ability to immediately affect his destiny upon completion of a scholastic year in good standing? I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea. It makes the players just a little bit more valuable, and I think ultimately it might result in better compensation across the board.
I think what they should do is just take the word loyalty and extract it from the dictionary. What do you think about that?
Well, when it comes to you know, big time college athletics, I'd say you might have something there, Lauren. I mean, I couldn't disagree with you in any regard that way. No way. Oh. That's all.
All right. Hey, thanks, Eric.
How are you doing?
Appreciate the call. 356-9397. Text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 3515-357. You can email us talk at WDWS.com. Well, Greg, thanks for coming by for a few minutes.
Great to see you.
I appreciate it.
Lauren, always enjoy the visit. You know, they always say that writers can never retire. They always have to continue to keep putting out their opinions, and I hope that's the case for you.
As long as they still have wheelchairs.
All right, we'll let Greg go. Doug Altenberger is going to swing by in a little bit, Lauren, and we've got the Globetrotters, at least one of them coming in.
Zeus.
The studio. Zeus is coming in. You going to go one-on-one with Zeus?
I don't think so. He's 6'8". I think he could outjump me.
We'll do that in the second hour. We'll come back with more of our Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Again, taking your comments and questions today, your thoughts. Illinois basketball tonight at 8, 6:30. Scott Beatty with Illini Game Day. And we'll get it rolling tonight from Lincoln, Nebraska. This is Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Penny for your thoughts on a Monday on DWS. Well, finances are the top cause of stress for 38% of baby boomers, 46% of Generation X, and 51% of millennials, according to PricewaterhouseCoopers. Baby boomers born from 1946 to 64 concerned about retirement and health care. Generation Xers worried about running out of money now and in retirement. Millennials more concerned about meeting current expenses. The experts at Busey encourage all generations to get back to the financial basics and budget. Busey has a wealth of financial resources to help you get back on track, from financial calculators and podcasts to insights from our experts and more. Just visit the Resource Center on Busey.com. Give them a call at 1-800-67-BUSEY or visit any of their convenient Busey locations. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts this morning. It's the Monday Morning Quarterback Show. Thanks to Greg Sharp, voice of the Huskers, for stopping by for a few minutes. And we have, I believe, Dave on the line with us. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How about yourself?
Good.
Another beautiful day in Champaign.
Yeah, I heard you got some snow, huh, back home there?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about this this transfer question. I think it's a terrible idea. And just before the break, you mentioned taking loyalty out of the dictionary. That is a good idea. And maybe commitment, too, as long as you're taking loyalty out. I mean, and it's not just the players. It's the coaches as well. I mean, let's go back to that four-letter word here at Illinois, self. When Bill Self left, I mean, what kind of a, number one, what kind of a message is that giving to the athletes? He's got a contract. Where's the commitment? You know?
Well, you know, it works two ways, too. The universities hire people and then they fire them. We just fired an offensive.
Well, you can get fired. I mean, firing is one thing. I mean, you've got to, that's part of the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what did Roy Williams do at Kansas? He could have left Kansas as soon as Dean Smith left. He didn't. He said, I have a contract. And I have players here. When that commitment's over, I'll go to North Carolina. And he did. Bill Self says, oh, here's my chance to go to Kansas. Adios, amigos, both to the university and the players. No commitment, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's the world we live in. And, you know, it's a carryover from AAU. The players just switch teams and go from one team to another, and the same thing happened in high schools. We're seeing right here in Champaign-Urbana, the number of players that have switched schools that starred one year for Central, the next year for Centennial, or went to Urbana, it's ridiculous what is happening.
I know.
It's a story that hasn't really been told. How many players? There was a team at Champaign Central. Oh, it's several years back. They had eight or nine guys that lived out of the district. You know,
yeah,
I mean, you can
right.
and you can cover this stuff up so easily, and it's just part of the culture now. It's amazing to me what's happened.
Right. And we talk about, we're looking at eighth graders. You know, they're on the radar as soon as eighth grade or even earlier.
Well, I've had college coaches.
Right.
I've had college coaches tell me, you know, with the AAU particularly, they play so many games. You know, they'll play a series of games in a day.
Right.
And if they lose one, so what? I'm not going to play in the next game. And it's almost right. Like that carries over to, we lost, and okay, well, on to the next one. You know, whereas the coaches and the fans are like living and dying with every loss, and they're growing up in a sense of we're just playing. It's just one of several games we'll play today. You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, when a high school athlete is recruited, I mean, that's quite an expense for the universities.
You bet. Right? Mm-hmm.
And sure. So there's a commitment there on the athlete. There's a commitment on the university's part. I just think it's a terrible idea to let him walk after a semester or even a year without any kind of, like, now sitting out a year. I mean, Tillman. Why is Tillman over in Missouri? Right? I mean, the list goes on and on, but I just think it's a terrible idea.
All right.
But it's just as much the coaches as I think as it is the athletes. But okay.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Dave.
Okay.
Appreciate it. I think Cyrus is up next. Hi, Cyrus.
Hey, if you're going to talk about coaching loyalty, you can throw Brad Underwood in there as well because he was 1 year at Oklahoma State. So coaches are just as disloyal as the players, but you got to throw him in there if you're going to throw Bill Self in there. I've got a couple of random thoughts. One of them is, we had a lot of talk about Brad Underwood and his coaching prowess and everything else. I have always believed his book of work, his body of work is very limited. He's been a career assistant coach. I mean, he's not – you look at a person at his age who's really only been a head coach for about 4 or 5 years, something there is missing for him to have not been a head coach at an earlier age. Look at Ohio State, who's really made the best coaching hire in the Big Ten. You bring in the guy from Butler, and look at how Ohio State has improved under him. Now, you may argue and say, well, Ohio State had pieces in place that Illinois didn't. I guess I would argue that. I would say I think they were probably on somewhat of a level playing field. And one of the things that was brought up that I think is important, I'd like to ask you all to weigh in on this. I actually know a coach who's coached many, many years. He's won a national championship. And one of the things he said to me was, he said, I was useless as a head coach if I didn't have an assistant coach on my bench who was basically a psychology major. He said, because I could do the X's and O's, but I was horrible when it came to getting inside the heads of the players and understanding how to lift them up when they were down, how to motivate them when they needed motivation. Do you think, because I heard them say this twice this weekend about Beilein and about Holtzman, that one of their gifts is the ability to connect with the psyches of their players? Do you believe that Underwood has that skill?
All right, Lauren, go ahead.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I haven't seen enough here to – I mean, obviously, he's not happy with some of the players, I'll tell you that. He's not happy with the talent level. I know that. And he wants. Yeah. That's why he's visiting Florida twice in the last 2 weeks. That's why he's traveling out and looking for players. He wants to – I think all coaches know they need talent to win. I mean, Beilein's a terrific coach, but he went to Berlin, Germany to get his center. I mean, yeah. you got to have players.
Well, I can tell you that Bill Self was tough on his guys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, in practice, and Lauren, you saw it.
Yeah.
And they loved him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can tell, I mean, we had a shoot around last night. They usually come in the building in just a little bit. They'll have the really focused shoot around today where they're scouting the opponent, but just to kind of walk in the building and – I mean, there were guys, you know, laughing and laughing with Coach, and he was teasing them about their hair. And, I mean, so there's a lot of back and forth, good-natured teasing. But when it comes to coaching the guys, I mean, he gets after them. There's no doubt. But Bill Self did, and so did Bruce Weber. They all do it.
Do you all think that now that Trent Frazier is a fixture in the starting lineup and is a freshman, what do you think the probability is that now that he's established – other teams in the Big Ten will now have a lot more film on him. And most freshmen, because they've been playing high school and AAU, they will hit a wall at some point in February. What do you think the chances are that Frazier's production is going to just fall off the cliff in about a month when we get into February and he's been playing all these minutes and teams know how to game plan against him?
Well, I don't know. I think with left-handers, they usually – figure out ways to prevent them from going to their left, which they usually want to do. But as long as he's got that face-up jump shot that he can get off anytime he wants, I think he's got a chance. I mean, the difference between he and Smith is stark in that regard. Smith can drive to the hoop with his strength, but he can't pull up and shoot that jumper the way Frazier can. That's why if you go back a month, Brian, you remember back when Frazier, I think he missed a shot against Northwestern when he lost the game. But I remember Underwood saying, he's the guy that's going to take our last shot because he's the one that can get it. And then the next game he hit it. You know, I mean, I don't remember which games it was, but of course the last game he hit the three to tie the game and put it into overtime. But he can get that shot off. Now, I didn't mean he make it every time, but he can get a good high percentage shot off every time he wants to.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of psychology, I remember at a practice there was when Trent was struggling, had been struggling with his shooting. Coach Underwood was like, Trent, you got a great shot. I want you to keep shooting it. I want you to shoot it. I don't care what the percentages are. And I think he was about 22% at the time from three. I want you to shoot it. And, you know, he took that to heart and has been playing really well since then. So, hey, Cyrus, I got to move. But thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Roger's up next here at 9:57. I got a couple of minutes. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. I had a couple of comments. The last coach we had, all he could do was holler, get tough, till the word tough just got boring, worse than that. Now the other day I hear Underwood hollering he wants a killer instinct. Is that kind of a comment really necessary to get kids to play? Or is that what took place of sportsmanship, or did that ever die long ago after they started playing blacktop basketball every Saturday and Sunday and Monday and whatever?
Well, if you heard everything that Underwood says, that's very minor. I mean,
well, I don't care what he says in the locker room, but it's not good either place, I don't think. But I just wondered what anybody thought about it.
All right. Well, thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to tell you the Facer Law Office invites you to attend their free seminar, The 7 Secrets You Need to Know to Protect Your Home, Your Assets, and Your Family from the Cost of Long-Term Care. Learn about the law that completely changes the rules and much more this Wednesday, January 17th at 1:30 at the I Hotel. Call Facer Law Office at 337-1111 to reserve your spot, 337-1111, and ask about the book co-authored by elder law attorney Thorpe Facer, Protect Your Family, Don't Write a Blank Check to the Nursing Home. We're at 9:59. We've got Zeus, I understand, in the house from the Harlem Globetrotters. We'll get him on with Lauren and watch them go one-on-one today in the studio. And coming up tomorrow, we've got a open line in the first hour, and we'll talk about a little bit about gun violence. The Unit 4 PTA has put together a panel. We'll talk about that. Jim Dye on Wednesday with an open line mixed in. And Julie Pride joins us from the Public Health District on Thursday. Talk about the flu that has been rampaging not only the Illinois basketball team, but across the country. All that and more to come in the next hour right here on Penny for Your Thoughts on WDWS Champaign-Urbana. It is 10 o'clock. All right, we are back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Monday morning quarterbacking today. Brian Barnhart with you this morning. We are in Lincoln, Nebraska, where it's 0 degrees, but the sun is out, and it's great to be here. We're at the Cornhusker Marriott is where they keep us, and we'll be joined by Doug Altenberger here in just a few minutes. Lauren Tate is there in studio. Lauren, you ready for a busy second hour?
Yeah, but I'm not going one-on-one with Zeus. He's too big. Plus, he Zeus can spin the ball on his Zeus. How long did it take you? How did you learn to spin the ball like that?
Well, when I was younger, I wasn't very good in basketball. And thank you for having me, by the way, Brian and Lauren.
When I was younger,
I'd be on the sidelines trying to get on the court, and I'd just be over there twirling the basketball on my finger. It turned out people pay you to do that, so it turned into a job for me one day.
Zeus McClurkin is with us with the Harlem Globetrotters. The reason he's in is because the Globetrotters are in at the State Farm Center Friday night, January 19th at 7 o'clock. Always a great family event. I know the youngsters really like you guys. A lot of people over the years, the kids, that's what they remember, is seeing the Globetrotters.
Yeah, and those kids turn into adults later on, and those adults bring their kids back to the games. I think the coolest part, Brian, when you come to our game, you know, you'll see somebody 10 years old, somebody 30 years old, somebody in their 70s, and everybody's having the same experience, a great big smile on their face, enjoying themselves.
And are you still spinning the ball as you're talking?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm doing a lot of cool tricks. You can't even see them because you're over there in Nebraska right now. Come on.
You know, Michael Jordan was cut from his eighth grade team, I think, but yeah. You were cut from the seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth grade teams, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
Here you are as a Globetrotter. How'd that happen?
Man, I wish I knew. All I can tell you is it was a lot of hard work and determination. When I was younger, people would criticize me for being too nice when it came to playing basketball. They said I smiled too much, and they said in order to be good in basketball, you got to have a killer instinct and this mean streak, which I never developed. I'm a minister at my church, so I'm a naturally nice person. I'm a people person. I was the type of guy, Lawrence, if I foul you, I apologize for it, you know, and my coaches hated that about me. I had another guy tell me, all you do is smile and dunk, and today I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most slam dunk in 1 minute. So, you know, I continue to be who I am and who I was, and I got a chance to put those skills on display with the Harlem Globetrotters.
In the course of a game, how much of the time are you dead serious about the game, winning the game, and how much of it's fun?
Yeah, so it's all fun for me. But there's a competitive nature to our game, and then there's an entertainment value as well. The Globetrotters have been around for the last 93 years. There was a time when the Globetrotters in the early 30s were beating teams by so much that people would leave our games.
Yeah.
So we had to develop some type of entertainment aspect. This is when you see, you know, a bucket of confetti and tossed into the crowd, or you'll see us going up into the stands eating somebody's popcorn, and those are the type of things that, you know, keep people coming around to our games, the spontaneity of it all. And then on top of that, when it's time to play basketball, you know, we really get down.
Talk about the legacy of Manny Jackson, mm-hmm. who owned the team. Who owns the Globetrotters now?
Now it's owned by a family company called Hershen Entertainment, which is a Christian family company, one of the biggest family-owned companies in the nation, and they own theme parks all around the world. And Manny Jackson was one of our previous owners who's also just been inducted into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. And you got guys like him, Curly Neal, Metalark Lemon, who come around the organization all the time.
Oh, they're still around, huh?
Oh, well, Metalark just passed away, but Curly will come around all the time. And Manny just came to our training camp this past December.
I saw Curly in Texas.
Yeah.
Does he live in Texas?
He's in Houston now.
Well, he came to an Illinois game several years ago, and I was doing the halftime show, and I got him to come on with me at halftime.
Wow.
And I said, Curly, I played against the Globetrotters one time, and he said, yeah, you're the one that fouled me so hard. And he's made up a story, you know, it wasn't true, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But were the Globetrotters in trouble when Manny took them over? I think that was the story.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the financial status that they were in during that time. I know right now we're doing really well. You know, we're touring, and we'll be in 320 cities this year. 320 games in 260 cities this year. We're one of the largest touring entities in the world. So we're doing pretty good now in our 93-year history.
That's Brian? A pretty good record. That's a pretty good record.
Oh, yeah, we're doing good. We haven't lost a game since 1971, and that was before any of us were born, so we're good, right? Right,
come
Lawrence?
On.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Zeus McClurkin with us for a few minutes from the Harlem Globetrotters. They're at the State Farm Center Friday night, January 19th at 7 o'clock. Now, you mentioned the slam dunk record, Guinness World Book of Records there.
Yes, sir.
16 in 1 minute. Now, it wasn't like you were just sitting on a ladder or standing on a ladder dunking. You had to, like, run back and forth, right?
Right. I wish it was like that. And actually, it's interesting you say it that way, because when I first heard about the record, Guinness reaches out to the Harlem Globetrotters just about every year, and they ask if there's any records we're willing to break. They submit a couple, and we tell them what we're able to do or what we're willing to do. I thought all I had to do was jump straight up and down and dunk the ball. And I'm like, well, I can do like 30 of those in a minute. Then when I get there, they tell me, Brian, that I have to run behind the free throw line in between every attempt and dribble the ball and use the same basketball. So
Same basketball.
Yeah, it was very difficult, but I made it through it. In my very first attempt, I got 15. And then the next time I did it, I got 16.
So when you dunk it, you got to catch it.
Yeah.
Bounce it.
I got to catch it. I'm sorry. I don't catch it. I have a rebounder there. Scooter, my teammate, okay. Shane Christensen, he actually caught the ball for me, and he would pass it to me as soon as I hit the free throw line.
Do you have
now, you also hold the record for bounced three-pointers made in a minute, right?
Yep. The most bounced NBA-ranged three-pointers in 1 minute, and that was 5 in 1 minute. I was able to make 5 bounced three-pointers.
How many times did you work on that before you did it? I mean, before...
That one took me a minute, actually. I did that in 3 attempts, so 3 minutes, I guess.
I mean, how many days in advance? I mean, you had to practice for a long time.
It's really hard to practice, though. You know, you go to your local YMCA, they only have so many basketballs laying on the sideline, you know, and people are like, why are you taking up the whole court just bouncing three-pointers? I'm like, I'm trying to work on a world record here.
Zeus McClurkin with us for a couple more minutes. The Harlem Globetrotters in town. You've also done, I get featured on ESPN, I read, the trick shots you've done, at Ohio State?
Yeah,
And the Mall of America. Tell us about those.
So the Globetrotters are also synonymous for our amazing trick shots that we've been doing here lately. If you go online to HarlemGlobetrotters.com, you can grab tickets for our game, of course, this Friday at the State Farm Center. But you'll also see some amazing footage of me and the rest of my teammates shooting the basketball from crazy ranges. You know, it's kind of like that Michael Jordan, Larry Bird commercial, you know, off the ceiling, off the scoreboard, nothing but net. And we'll end up doing these kind of shots all over the world. You can look at our YouTube page. I've shot one from the top of Ohio Stadium there in Columbus, Ohio. I spun the ball on my finger and I released it. I threw it off of the top of the building and made it on the main concourse level. That took me 13 shots, because I know that's what your next question is. How many attempts? It took me about 13 shots to make that one.
I wanted to ask you, do you have a desire at any point to play in the NBA?
I always wanted to play professional sports. I didn't know what the sport was going to be.
Are you good enough?
I'm good enough to play with anybody, but right now the Globetrotters offer something very unique to me, and that is that I can be myself when it comes to playing basketball. You know, in college and playing overseas as well, I had to worry about how many points I scored, how many rebounds I got. With the Globetrotters, I just got to make sure that you're having a good time and you're smiling and that you leave with a memorable experience. And you know, there's nothing better than that to me.
And tell me who you're playing against.
This year we're playing the Washington Generals again.
Again?
Yeah, we haven't.
Red Klotz.
Oh, he's done. he's done with the Washington Generals. But Red Klotz, actually, he was a part of the team that beat the Globetrotters in 1971. He hit the game-winning shot, and he said he got a bunch of hate.
I bet it was a two-handed shot, too.
Yeah,
set shot.
He said he got a bunch of hate mail the next day. He said he felt like he killed Santa Claus.
Well, Zeus, before we let you go, a couple of things. Orlando Antigua is on our staff.
Oh, nice.
Here with Illinois, and yeah. I guess he played for the Globetrotters, right?
Yes. I've been hearing about Orlando, and I wish him the best of luck.
Yeah. And also, you battle asthma. Did I read that right?
Yes, sir. Exercise-induced bronchial spasms exercise-induced asthma. Yes, sir. I had to overcome that in college. I thought my whole life I was just, you know, slower than everybody else. Turned out I had exercise-induced bronchial spasms. And once I got diagnosed with that, I was able to actually learn what my triggers are. And I tell kids all over the place, you know, you don't have to let your asthma be a hindrance to you. You too can push through it.
I was going to say, what other advice would you have for the young people that'll be watching you guys Friday night?
I would say be coachable. Be the type of player that your coach can always depend on. And I wasn't always the best basketball player. I didn't always have the most athleticism. But one thing my coach knew he could do is count on me. And, you know, that's just not just in sports, but be coachable in life. Listen to your parents. Listen to your teachers. You know, anybody who wants to sit there and give you any type of advice, those people obviously care about you enough and it's free to listen. So, you know, you might as well hear them out.
Hey, Zeus, great to have you on with us today. Good luck Friday night.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Zeus.
We're counting on you to win.
Oh, yeah. This is our year. Come on and enjoy this warm weather with us over here, too.
All right. Thank you, Zeus.
For sure.
All right, Zeus McClurkin from the Harlem Globetrotters with us. Hey, a quick question. If you need collision repairs, where do you go? Gallo Miller, Paint and Collision Repair. Full-service collision repair facility. They know having a car accident is very serious. And, of course, the guys there, Dave and Bill, Dave Miller, Bill Gallo, they're passionate about the business. They truly care. 18 years in the business. They've repaired over 23,000 vehicles. Give them a call. They know the collision repair business, the insurance business inside and out. They know when you're having your car repaired what a hassle that is. Free estimates always offered. Look for their attractive building, the south side of I-74 between the Neal and Prospect exits. You can go to GalloMiller.com, Gallo Miller Paint and Collision Repair. We're back with more. Doug Altenberger joins us here with Lauren Tate as we continue on the Monday Morning Quarterback Show from Lincoln, Nebraska, here on a Monday. We are back on Penny for Your Thoughts. Busy show today. We're going to give away a radon kit here shortly before the news. We'll tell you about that in a moment here. We're at 10:21. Lauren Tate in studio. Did you enjoy Zeus?
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. They're a fun group, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and have not lost. By the way, I think Jolette Law, didn't she play for the Globetrotters at one point?
You got me there. I didn't remember that.
I think she did at one point. So, and Orlando Antigua was on the staff. Hey, Doug Altenberger wandered in, Lauren.
Okay.
Getting ready for the game tonight.
I heard their interview. Does Zeus use up any of his eligibility? Maybe we could use him. We could recruit him. Have Brad.
He can really spin that ball, I'll tell you that, on one finger. Yeah. I don't know how you do that, but he did
it. Yeah, I had one of my good friends, sort of the same story. He was sort of a late mature. He was a really good high school player, but just wasn't big and strong enough. And then, he loved the game, and his name was Curly Boo Johnson. He was from Peoria. His dad played at Bradley years ago. And he played for about 12, 14 years. And when they come to Chicago, I'd go see him. And the kids were, they were more impressed with that than anything dad else could do. Bring him to the game, and Curly would come over. And they just do a great job with that whole show. And it's really kids-related, which is awesome.
They had they have three teams playing in different parts of the country. And that's been their habit for quite a number of years. In other words, they've got three different squads playing in different areas of the country.
Yeah, and you mentioned Manny's, of course, involvement. He took them they were in bad financial shape, right, when he took them over?
Yes, I remember when I interviewed Manny about that some years back, and he said that was the case. So they were practically ready to fold, I think, when he took over, and suddenly he revived them, and they've been going strong ever since.
Yeah. Well, we're here with Doug Altenberger. We're in Lincoln, Nebraska, 356-9397. You can text us, the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or talk at WDWS.com. Doug, what do you think tonight? Illinois and Nebraska.
They're tough. The Pinnacle Center, they're, for a lot of the Big Ten fans, we're not really used to Nebraska. We know about Indiana and Purdue, but I think this is one of the tougher venues to win in. And last year, Illinois came in here, they were hot. They just scorched them from three-point land. But this is a really good team, and this is a tough environment. And the guys hopefully will be a little healthier. They got to step up. This is a tough league, and you got to come with your A game every night. And we saw even against Iowa at home, if you don't play defense, rebound, it's a league where I think right now it's a league that's gotten a lot better than people expected, and I think Purdue and Michigan State are as good as anybody in the country. It's a better league than I think than I thought initially going into the season.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be a tough part for the committee to figure out when it comes time to select for the NCAA, because the Big Ten did so poorly. For instance, Indiana, which looks like a good basketball team to me now, just they've got seven losses, and they had those terrible multi-point losses to St. John's and Fort Wayne and Indiana State, and I they're not going to get in the NCAA. And what if they finish high in the Big Ten, but they have all those losses? It's going to be I think your point is that some teams have gotten better. Indiana's gotten better. Ohio State's gotten better. At the same time, Minnesota, which was a cinch to be in the NCAA, is headed in the other direction.
Yeah, I had Minnesota way up there. But after saying that, there were some cracks in the foundation up there, and it's falling apart, which sort of doesn't surprise me. Indiana, I thought going in, was going to be a pretty good team. I talked to Rob Judson, who was assistant coach there the last few years, and we were at the New Mexico State game, and I was asking him. I thought, Indiana might be pretty decent. They've got some older guys. And he thought the same thing. So I think there was more of the coaching philosophy. It was completely opposite of Crean, and took him a while to buy in. And I think Indiana's better. Ohio State, what a great job the old Butler coach has done there. He's just knocked it out of the ballpark. So I think as a committee member, you might look at who's improving. That's always a big thing. You got new coaches that came in. There's a lot of movement and changes and stuff in the Big Ten. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they're talking about only four teams at one time. But, don't worry, Delaney will get in there. He'll figure out how to get some more teams in there.
Let's go to Jim on the phones with us. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks, gentlemen. Enjoy your show. I was at the Iowa game, and I don't know about you, but I couldn't read the numbers on their jerseys. Their numbers are great big blocks with very, very small cutout. If it's like a zero, you can barely discern there's a hole in the middle. A five, a six, an eight, all those numbers look almost identical unless you're right on top of them. I don't know if you noticed that while you were calling the games or not, but I would think they'd be illegal if they're not readily discernible.
Yeah, you're talking about for Iowa?
Yes. Yeah. Numbers on their jersey.
Yeah.
Sometimes a guy would score. I'd try to see what his number was so I could look up on the board and see who he was, how many points he might have.
Yeah. But
that was hard.
Well, I didn't have any issue with it. I didn't notice it, but I do know there any more in football and basketball that the way the Nike and all the companies are doing the jerseys, they're they're making them look slightly different or attractive in a different way, and they're not necessarily taking the play-by-play or the crowd into account, I think. I mean, because I've called some games. You know, we played Nebraska out here a few years ago at night, and I forget. I think they wore all black jerseys with silver numbers or something, and I didn't see a number all night long. I mean, I had to depend on my spotter with his binoculars to tell me what in the world was happening because I couldn't see anything.
I think,
go ahead, Lauren.
Well, I've noticed it for the caller, Jim. I've noticed it on several occasions when they're real blocky and comparable to the color of the numbers are kind of blend into the uniforms. I've noticed that. I don't know if I noticed it particularly in the Iowa game, but I've noticed it this season several times.
Now, where Doug and I ran into it last year was we were playing West Virginia at the Barclays Center. And West Virginia has those light kind of yellow numbers.
Yes.
And we literally, I mean, I went to the first time out. I turned to Doug and said, Doug, do you see those numbers? Because I couldn't tell who they were.
Yeah, we were really struggling. Plus, we were a little bit higher up. And, Brian's like, I can't see the numbers. And I said, well, I can't see them either, buddy. You're on your own. Yeah. As a player, though, it really doesn't affect you. Who you're guarding and everything. But, yeah, it's as a fan – I remember years back, was it the Wisconsin-Illinois game? Where
the red and orange? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Wasn't there an incident years ago involving Andy Kaufman when we were supposed to go to some kind of zone and he's running around looking for player five or something and they couldn't quite get that across to him and couldn't read the numbers. There was no five on the floor. But is this a new trend also for players to roll the top of their shorts down so they look like some gang member out of prison with the tag hanging out the back?
Jim, I'm glad you brought that up because, being old school, I noticed that lately, and I said to myself, they make you tuck the jersey in. And listen, when you get measured for a uniform, it's all perfect. I mean, it's not like these guys are going into Brooks Brothers without, this is all tailored. So I noticed the same thing, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I think the uniform should be worn properly, the strings hanging out. Or the other thing is I don't like is when they run out there and their jersey isn't tucked in. To me, I'm like, hey, tuck your jersey and get ready to play. But, again, you and I are a little old school. That's the way I was brought up.
Get your knee pads, on. And,
yeah.
Why I'm would not your sure. jersey ever have to come out with the new kind of shorts they got? That's like the stickiest rubber around the inside. Your jersey should never come out.
Well, I think that's the new fad. I think that's I've noticed a lot of guys on other teams are doing it as well.
Yeah, I do too. All right, gentlemen, great talking to you.
Thank you, Jim. Good to visit with you. All right. One of our sponsors is Woods Basement Systems, and they have been in business since 1986. They've helped over 55,000 homeowners, wall cracks, basement issues, encapsulation, all of those sorts of things, helping you avoid mold in your home and so forth. But January is Radon Action Month. Woods Basement Systems radon experts can help determine if a building's radon levels are above the EPA's recommended levels, and if so, they can install an aesthetically pleasing and affordable radon mitigation system. So we are giving one away today, courtesy of Woods Basement Systems. If you're the first caller at 356-9397, 356-9397, area code 217, you'll be the winner of a free radon testing kit. We'll get your name and phone number, and we'll be giving these away as we go during the course of the week and early next week. But again, 356-9397, be the first caller. Get a radon testing kit courtesy of Woods Basement Systems. We've got the news coming up. We'll do all of that next and more to come as we continue. Doug Altenberger is with us. We've had a busy show today. Zeus has been with us. Greg Sharp was with us. Lauren Tate is with us. We got a whole group of folks to talk here on Monday Morning Quarterbacks on DWS. We're Monday morning quarterbacking today. A lot of NFL talk yesterday, of course, with the NFL playoffs. Shad Khan's team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, in the AFC title game against those New England Patriots again. They're always there, it seems like. And Minnesota, great rally at the very end to win their game against New Orleans and Sean Payton's team there. And they'll face the Eagles next weekend. The winners go to the Super Bowl. By the way, the winner of our radon kit, Rich from Champaign, so congratulations. We'll give another one away tomorrow. Hey, I want to tell you about a new sponsor we're pleased to join, Steve and Pam Starwalt from Keller Williams. They're a husband and wife team selling real estate, which isn't very common when you think about it. Husband and wife team, Steve and Pam Starwalt, hands-on when it comes to selling your home and being involved in the selling process, hands-on from start to finish. Pam has completed training and earned a certificate that makes her a senior real estate specialist, which means she can assist those of you maybe at the time in your lives when you're looking to downsize. She specializes in that. If you happen to be moving out of state, they can help with referrals for going out of state to agents to get to your specific need and what type of location you're looking for, not just sending you, say, to Texas and good luck. I mean, they're going to help you look for a place, so they'll do that. Both Steve and Pam grew up in Champaign-Urbana. They graduated locally. They know the area very well. I got to know Steve a little bit. One of his hobbies is he works with the Illini coaching staff setting up their headsets at the football games. Just a tremendous couple that are looking to help you sell your home. And if you're looking to sell, give them a call. They can meet with you, no obligation on your end. They can discuss your time frame, your urgency. Are you trying to sell in 2 weeks, 6 months, a year? They can provide you with a no-cost consultation. So from selling, home inspections, appraisal process, there's a lot that goes into selling your home. Steve and Pam will be with you the entire way. It's a husband and wife team, Steve and Pam Starwalt with Keller Williams. And if you want to, you can Google Starwalt, look that up that way, and you'll come right to them with their work there at Keller Williams. So Steve and Pam Starwalt, our new sponsor, we're thrilled to have them with us. We'll tell you more about them as we go along each time they are with us. Their phone number is 239-7156, 239-7156, and just call that number. If they happen to be out somewhere, it'll roll to Pam's cell phone, and she'll get right back to you. So, again, pleased to have Steve and Pam Starwalt, Keller Williams. Give them a call at 239-7156. If you're looking to sell your home, they can certainly be with you the entire way through that process. All right, Lauren Tate is with us in our studio. Doug Altenberger is here. It's Illinois and Nebraska basketball tonight. As the Illini battle the Huskers, Illinois won here last year, Doug. They blew out the Huskers.
Yeah, they came out, and they were on a roll. They'd won some big games. They had a lot of confidence, and having played in this league a little bit, when the team was on fire and they came out, and especially in that second half, it was raining threes, and it was a big win for them, and got them close to almost 500. It's this is a little bit different team. They've lost to some good players, but they've picked up some. We're talking about transfers, and they've picked up some transfers, and they've been able to really, Coach Miles has done a great job of integrating those guys, and they've been a big factor in their success. And they almost beat Kansas here about a month ago, mm-hmm. Brought them down to the wire, almost won. And this is a really good team.
And Lauren, we were talking with Brad Underwood last night. Of course, Brad played at K-State. He goes, now, I played at the old building at the Devaney Center.
Yep.
I don't know if you ever got there or not, but Brad said, I'm old enough to have been at the old center. So.
Well, I think that the new place is obviously a hard place to win. And it's interesting I thought Miles was in trouble last year. And what he's done is he's just put together a team from all walks of life, it seems like, and transfers and grad transfers. And he's starting a lineup of all juniors and seniors. And Gil, one of his backups, is also a senior. So this is a veteran ball club, although this is the first year that they've really played together. Glenn Watson from Illinois is the only guy that I really have any memory of in previous years. Do you guys feel any differently about it?
I think this is an interesting team because a lot of the guys that he has on here is a few ago. And he's been able to keep a couple of those guys from a leadership perspective, brought these new guys in. There was rumblings last year when we were in town, and people were a little – I mean, they They love him, his character. They love how he runs the program. But they were getting a little frustrated with his ability to succeed in the Big Ten. But after saying that, whenever we go into any town, it seems like, you know, everybody's mad at the coach. Fans always want a little more. We all do. That's what we want. But definitely he's really turned it around. And right now they've got a couple big home games here before they go back on the road. But they're sort of like Illinois in February. They play the last, I think, 4 out of 5 games at home. So this is a big stretch for them. So they're coming back. And I watched that Penn State game. They were down, I think, 15, 19 points, mm-hmm. and they came storming back and played hard, didn't give up. The team is, I think, is really playing with an edge.
Well, if this was football, he'd be fired. I'll just tell you that. They have a whole different approach to football than they do to basketball. We've seen that. And I don't know that, you know, the new athletic director will want to pile on the basketball after he's just finished with a football problem, but Nebraska is a football. They're a football college. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, when you come in from the airport or from I-80, and you see that the Coliseum there and how beautiful and how, you know, that, you know, go Big Reds everywhere, and we drive out to go out west a lot, go skiing, and you know, when you go through Nebraska, even parts of Iowa and even Wyoming, it's all Nebraska. I mean, these people drive for miles and miles and miles for a football game. It is a big deal on Saturday, you know, evening and night. So these guys love their football.
Well, the old joke in this part of the country, whether it was here, Oklahoma or Nebraska or whatever, is that basketball was what you did, the fans did, between football and spring football.
That's right.
That's what they always said.
Well, they show up. I mean, the place will be packed.
Yeah, it'll be noisy tonight. They've got a beautiful arena. So, all right, we'll take your phone calls, 356-9397. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling, text line 351-5357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. It's Martin Luther King Day, and we're remembering that, of course, today on this Monday, and the University of Illinois starts up again their classes tomorrow, the basketball team playing tonight here in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll come back with more. Lauren's in studio. Doug's with me here in Lincoln. We'll take your comments coming up as we continue on Penny for Your Thoughts. We are back on this Martin Luther King Day. We're on a Monday here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It is Illinois basketball tonight, 8 o'clock tip. Doug Altenberger is with me. 6:30, our Illini game day coverage coming your way this evening with Scott Beatty. Illinois plays at Wisconsin Friday night as well at 8 o'clock. In fact, what, the next 3 or 4 games are all at 8 o'clock. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm still digesting. They have a game every day of the week in the Big Ten. You know, Ed and I go back a little, and as well as you, Brian, is that we used to play Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday was a game of the week, maybe in the big, you know, CBS, and then, you know, you had Big Monday or Little Tuesday, whatever they call all these things, and you know, it's dramatically changed. But it's TV, and the only good part is I can flip on every night or TiVo it or whatever you call it, DVR it, and watch a Big Ten game every night. So it's definitely changed.
Yeah, well, Lauren, basketball games used to be played on Saturday afternoon at home. But,
oh man, and what it means to the attendance is true. You know, if we could play anybody at 1 o'clock on a Saturday, and you're going to pack that place. It's just that the 8 o'clock games are getting people who don't get home till 10:30, 10:45, 11, and I don't think they like it. Friday nights, you're going against the high school games. You're going against the Globetrotters. We just talked to Zeus and about the fact that the Globetrotters are going to be in State Farm Center on Friday night. Well, at the same time, Illinois is playing at Wisconsin. That game will be on TV at 8 o'clock, and a lot of people would like to watch that. So, I mean, I don't know. I have a problem with it, but I guess I'm getting used to it. But, Doug, it's crazy that we play every single day of the week, all 7 days of the week during the course of this year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times as a player, it does you like to have a routine and you know going in and things of this nature. But when you're playing, you know, trying to do the schedule and doing all this stuff, and then you got to worry about how much you practice and all that, it's definitely something where you've got to stay in your routine as a player. That's really, really critical. And I think right now, I know some of the guys were sick the last few weeks. You know, they're traveling. Of course, they travel a lot better than we used to. But in a sense, you know, you let your guard down a little bit, don't get the right sleep and don't eat right. You know, all of a sudden, bam, you got the flu and it goes right through the team. But I think you know, you got to be careful too with TV because, you know, look at the NFL. You know, if you give them too much, then people sort of like, you know, okay.
It's too much.
It's too much. Yeah. Like Thursday night, I mean, how long have they had NFL? I even forget they have NFL on Thursday night. And, of course, our Bears stink, so I don't really watch much on Sunday. I'm not going to waste my time watching them. But, yeah, it's you got to be careful you don't water the product down too much.
Let's go to David on the phone line. Lauren's in studio. Doug's with me here in Lincoln. Hi, David.
Hey there, guys. Hey, you know, I'm just thinking back when I was a kid growing up back in Berwyn. And, you know, I remember when the college games would be on a Saturday, and then again that would be Monday. And that was it. And there wasn't anything else during the week. And I believe at that time they wanted the kids, the students in class, the basketball players, so they could get that education. And right now, just seeing this with the NCAA making adjustments, and now you get the ESPN and all the other stuff in, and it gets down and it's getting down into money. And, you know, there's something about it saying, do the networks really care about the athletes? You know, because I even look at Thursday Night Football. Back when I was in college and I was an athletic trainer with the Illini, you know, I remember talking with Bob Behnke, and he talked about injuries and how much rest is needed between games. And now it gets back, well, let's have Thursday Night Football and see how much more money can be taken and treat these guys as a piece of meat. You know, I just have challenges with that.
No, well, that's where we are. I don't know. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I don't know how much worse it can get. But I think this whole idea, now that we're going toward this idea, I'm switching subjects on you a little bit here, but if they meet and decide to do something about allowing people to transfer after 1 year, I mean, at any year they can transfer to another school, that's just going to make it it's just going to be wild. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, I cease to like that whole aspect of basketball. I just don't like it.
Well, and also, the only good part is that these guys do travel a lot better than they did 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So you know, they'll be the games tips at 8. They'll be back flying. They'll be wheels up by maybe 11:30. It's an hour flight. You know, is it? They get in a little late. Yeah, no question about it. But you know, we would have had to, you know, spend the night, or we would have driven back, and you know, the old Greyhounds. But they do because of the more money, whatever. The kids do get back, and then and they make sure they get to class and things of that nature. So it's not as quite as long. But no question, it's gone the other way, and it's not going to stop. Like Lauren said, I mean, when each Big Ten school gets a massive check at the end of the year, it's, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, thanks for the call, David.
You're welcome. Hey.
All right. Bill, bye-bye. Texas. Thank you, David. Bill, Texas, says NFL blames Thursday. He says it's Kaepernick that started the slide. They're in denial. All right. We're going to go to break. 10:53, final break. And we've got Doug here with me in Lincoln. Lauren's in studio, back to start to close down the show for a Monday after this. We're at 10:56, Penny for your thoughts. The Facer Law Office invites you to attend their free seminar, The 7 Secrets You Need to Know to Protect Your Assets and Your Family from the Cost of Long-Term Care. Learn about the law that completely changes the rules and much more Wednesday, January 17th at 1:30 at the I Hotel. Call the Facer Law Office, 337-1111, to reserve your spot. 337-1111. Ask about the book, co-authored by Elder Law Attorney Thorpe Facer, Protect Your Family. Don't write a blank check to the nursing home. 10:57. Tomorrow we'll have an open line at 9. We'll talk with some representatives heading up this Unit 4 PTA Council on Gun Violence in Champaign in the second hour for a little bit. Open line, though, in the first hour, and open line after 10:30 tomorrow. Wednesday, open line at 9, Jim Dye at 10. And we'll talk about the flu on Thursday, 9 a.m. with Julie Pride from the CU Public Health District. A couple of minutes to go, so Doug, we'll get your quick thoughts. Lauren, your thoughts as well on the game tonight, and then we'll keep watching for an offensive coordinator, I guess, back in football. So, Lauren, you go first.
Well, I think Illinois is at a big disadvantage tonight because Smith is definitely below par, Mark Smith, and Lucas is not with the team for the second straight game for violating team policy. And so the guard situation is going to be thin. And we're going to need some points out of people, you know, some people that maybe haven't been scoring an awful lot lately, like maybe DeMonte Williams, or somebody's got to step up and help out Frazier and Black. I think, as I said, Illinois is at a tremendous disadvantage with a losing streak going here, and I doubt very much if they can pull it off tonight. I'd be surprised if they did.
Well, defensively, we're probably one of the worst teams in the Big Ten right now. Teams are shooting a high percentage against us. Rebounding-wise, we're putting guys on the free throw line. We're getting pounded on the free throw line. So those are numbers that we've got to overcome tonight. We've got to play better defense, and we've got to keep people off the free throw line. You can't guard the free throw line. And as Lauren says, this is a team that's got a lot of experience. We're young. As Coach Henson used to say, we're green. And it's going to be a great challenge. But I think it's a game where if these guys can get some confidence going and play hard for 40 minutes, you never know. I mean, this is it's not like Nebraska's got tremendous amount of talent. So, hopefully the coaching staff's worked hard, put a good game plan together, and guys believe it and trust it and get out there and get a W.
All right.
Find that Missouri dust, Brian, that Missouri magic dust.
Yeah. Hey, Lauren, great to have you on today, as always.
Good enough. I will see you a little later and be listening to you tonight.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Go Illini.
We'll go to the shoot around here in a little bit here in Lincoln. And go Illini, thanks to all our guests today. Greg Sharp from Nebraska Radio, play-by-play man who lives here in Lincoln. Stop by. Zeus was in the studio there with Lauren from the Harlem Globetrotters. They're in the State Farm Center Friday night. We'll talk to you tonight from Lincoln for Illinois basketball here on News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana. Have a great rest of the day.